Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Good morning, New Song.
Hey.
How y'all doing this morning? Amen. I'm glad to be here this morning. How many of you are glad to be here this morning? You could be somewhere else, but you're here. And I want to say to you while you're giving your offering that God knows everything about each one of us. He cares about every hair on your head or the ones that used to be on your head, like me. And the ones that, if you're growing, that might be on your head. He knows everything about us. And yet, he still loves us. Amen? He cares about us. So I want you to keep that in your mind as you read this scripture with me. So would you stand? I heard one preacher say, would you stand to your rest and read this scripture with me? And I want you to read it loud. Make it personal. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's read that one again. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Would you pray with me? Amen. Joy comes in the morning. Father, we just ask for you right now to help us to understand what your will is for us right now. Help us to understand this word in a special way. Let it break chains off of some of us. Let it lead us closer and deeper into you. Holy Spirit, speak those things you want us to hear. We remain faithful to hear what you say. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want you to keep that phrase, joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. How many of you have had trouble in your life? Man, every hand's got to go up. There used to be a song that I never sang it, but I used to hear people say it. And they usually some old black sisters and brothers. Trouble in my way, I have to cry sometime. Anybody know that? Al Basin, she's singing the whole thing right over there. And the question that some of us might be asking is, why does trouble have to be in my way? Why me? Why now? Those are questions that all of us have asked. Have you asked that question? Especially when you're going through something. Anybody going through something today? You going through so bad you don't even want to say it. But my question to us today is, how do we go through? How? How do we avoid getting stuck or just giving up? We all at some point will have a difficult situation to deal with. When that happens, how do we deal with it is very important. Will you get mad at God or other people? I know it was said, and I've experienced this, the people we love the most hurt us the most. We're open to them and they're open to us, and when they get mad, they just take it out on us, right? Well, how do we do that when trouble comes? Will you blame someone or something? Will you take it out on the people who are closest to you? Will you run to Jesus? So there you go. Problems come. The Bible says that trouble is common to man as the sparks fly upward. Now, I heard that psalm or that phrase, scripture, when I was younger, when I was a little man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Until I went to a campfire one night. And then I saw them sparks. They just naturally go up. The little tender pieces, they just go up. And it's about like that with us with trouble. As sure as the sun comes out, as sure as it goes down, we're going to have trouble. But it's how we deal with it. I got good news for you. You might even believe that the lie of the enemy, that we're not going to make it through our trouble. Anybody been there? You just want to give up and quit? But you are. The good news is God is aware of everything that has or is happening to you. That has happened or is happening. He's aware of it. Either he allowed it or he's the one behind it. Now, some people don't have a theology that supports that statement, but I do. They don't believe that God does anything to us. You know, like, you mean God, he caused that car accident? No, but he allowed it. And yes, he protected you in the midst of it. He did. I'll show you why. Remember Job? Anybody remember Job? Some people call it Job's trouble. Job had a lot of trouble. Job was a rich man. He was probably one of the richest men at that time in the East. He had everything you could want. He prayed to God every day. He offered sacrifices. His kids, they didn't have no want. They did all kind of good things. They did everything. They had fun. They would party at night and do whatever. And then Job, being the God-fearing man, he would pray for his kids and offer sacrifices for them every night just to make sure that no harm came to them. And one day, God and Satan had a conversation. Satan came with the angels of the Lord to the throne of God and said, hey, man, the only reason why people serve you is because you give them good things. And then God said, have you considered my son Job, my servant Job? So God gave Satan permission to mess with him. These are my words, okay? He gave him permission to mess, but you can't take his life. Now, Job didn't know any of this conversation. He just was living life. And one day his servants came, hey, man, your kids just got blown over and your houses got blown over in a tornado and your kids got wiped out and all your stuff is, all your animals. I mean, everything was just taken from him one day after the next. That's what is called Job's trouble. He was in trouble. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But here's the key for Job. Job loved God enough, which is why God gave Job as an example to the enemy. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I have been there. I used to hear people say that too. And I kind of knew what it meant a little bit. But, you know, it really has a more powerful meaning when you get to the point in your life where you're at the edge of disaster. And you have to say, God, I don't know what you're doing here, but even if you were to kill me, I still will put my trust in you. Anybody in here like that? Everybody ain't raising their hand that fast. But that's okay. Maybe by the end of this time, you'll be able to say that. So God was aware of Job's circumstances, just like he's aware of your situation. Sometimes we go through things that are of our own doing. You know, when you disobey things that you know you shouldn't do and the calamity falls on you. Everybody knows this one. Don't put your hand on the fire. Little Sonny boy, Paulie boy, Mary Joe. It's always Johnny, but I don't know why Johnny gets that. He's like the don't put your hand on the fire, Johnny. Mommy turns around. Johnny goes, I think I'll put my hand on the fire. And it burns his hand up and he's in pain. But that's because he disobeyed. Not because mommy did it to him. Amen. And so some of us blame God for things that we have done. Or we allow the devil to blame God for things that he has done. You know, it's an act of nature. Might have been, but the devil was behind it. That tornado, this thing, that thing, whatever. So there's two things. We consider that Job had trouble because he didn't do anything wrong. And then there's a situation where we do something wrong, we still have trouble. The end question for me is, how do you get out of it? How do you go through that trouble? So I know this, Romans 8:28 says, and we know, Lee quoted it earlier, that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. To those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God works out your bad decisions and the good things. He works out the things that the enemy meant for evil. He turns them for good. So you can overcome. Amen? Do you believe that? All right. Because if you don't believe that, I'll spend a few more minutes on proving to you why you need to believe that. It's important. When we're in the middle of our difficulty, we sometimes forget that God is still with us and aware of our circumstances. We have to remind ourselves, like Job, to keep trusting in God who can save and deliver. God promises to take us through our situation. The Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what. In the book of Daniel, the third chapter, it talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and a big Negro. I just had to say that, sorry. Y'all got over that now? It's all good. I wasn't being PC. But when I was a kid, someone said that, and I thought, a big Negro? We had Negroes in the Bible? Oh. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. That's his name. Y'all know the story, right? The king passed a law saying that you got to worship this big statue that was made out of gold and all that. And so when the boys heard the word, they said, we ain't doing it. They said, we are not doing it. In fact, they said in Daniel 3:17, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue your hand. He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, they stood on their ground. I love it. So I want you to notice a few things in this story. They were in trouble for doing what? Nothing. They just wouldn't bow down and worship a false god. They believed the true and living God. Some of us get in trouble for doing the right thing. Notice that the three Hebrew men made up their minds, no matter what, we have to make up our minds and decide that we're going to serve God no matter what happens. When things are going well, what do? Serve God. When things are going well, stay connected. When things are going well, be a worshiper. I'm adding to this here. When they aren't going well, serve God, stay connected, be a worshiper. Let me repeat that. When things are going well, serve God, stay connected, be a worshiper. When they aren't going well, serve God, stay connected. Say that last one. Okay. What did we do this morning? Okay, some of you, I usually don't notice, truthfully, but I can only tell because my piano's facing this way. I don't really be looking at you guys. But I'm worshiping, and when we start out, there's a certain number of people in here. And then when we get to this point in the service, there's another number of people in here. You guys do the math. But if you miss the worship, then you're doing two of those three things. Serve God, stay connected, worship. Be a worshiper. You got to be here. Because worship is where good stuff happens. It prepares you. It sets you up for victory in the week and tomorrow. And also, it sets you free. Because you're in God's presence when you worship. Amen? I just thought I'd throw that in there for you. So you have to learn to worship and stay connected to Jesus, to Jesus when things are going well and when they aren't. So the three Hebrew boys, I'll call them that, they were to be thrown into a furnace that was made seven times hotter. They really wanted to crucify them dudes. They wanted to cook them. So they made it seven times hotter. They were bound up. Now keep in mind that they had on turbans, they had on clothes, and then they had on robes on top of that. So they had a lot of garments. They were wrapped around with cords. And the guys that threw them in the fire, it was so hot that they were killed throwing them into the fire. But first thing you got to know is that they didn't get burned going in. They didn't get burned. How do I know that? Because a few minutes after that, the king said, didn't we throw three people in there? And they all said, yeah. So the however many guys got burnt up throwing them in, they're still alive. First thing is, the Bible's Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. When you're going to get ready to get into your situation, God is with you. Sometimes we forget that God is with us. I want you to be reminded of that. So now, when they got thrown in, then the king said, I know we threw three, but I see four people in there. And the fourth one, I don't know how he knew this, but he said, looks like the Son of God. So he must have looked different than the other three. But guess what? If I was in a fire that was seven times hotter, so much so that the people who threw me in got burnt to a crisp, I wouldn't be just walking around and talking. Would you? You probably, they'd be jumping up. But that's not what they were doing. They were chilling. They were in there talking to Jesus. He was the fourth man. So what I want to say to you is, when you're in your hot place, when you're in your hot season, when you're in your biggest trouble, invite Jesus in there with you. I'd rather be in the fire with Jesus than outside. Because you know the Hebrew boys could have ran, they could have ran right out the fire. But they had the peace of God. Some of you have been through some stuff, and while you're going through, you have the peace of God. You're not freaking out. And I've heard hundreds of testimonies, people, and even myself. People say, well, how come you're so calm? Because Jesus is in the fire with me. His presence is with me. He's with me. He's with you. He didn't leave you or forsake you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. You got to know that. Remind yourself. If Jesus is with me, we used to sing a song. If Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. Why? Because you know you're going to win. Don't you? Do you know that you can win when Jesus is with you in the fire? Come on, come on. Preach it, Paul, preach it. You know why I love Jesus? Because he loved me first. How did he love me? He gave himself for me. It wasn't just words. It was action. Now, I don't know about you, but I've told this story probably five or six times, and I could tell you 1,000 more just like it. But one of the reasons why I love my dad is because when I was in trouble, trouble that I caused, that I didn't deserve any favor or any grace. And the trouble was, I was 16 years old, no driver's permit, no license. Back then, you didn't have an ID card, so I didn't even have that. I decided to drive my brother's car to the pizza store. I had the key, and it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and my mom said, "Hey, you go and get pizza. We're eating pizza for dinner." It was only like 2.5 blocks away. But I said to my brother David, "Hey, David, come on, man." He was like, "Where are we going?" "I'm getting in my other brother's car." Click, click, click. We get in. It's a 3-speed Mustang, stick shift, 68. Ch-ch-ch-ch. I pulled off. And just as I pulled off, the cop is standing there on the corner talking to the store owner who knew my father and my family. But he goes, "Hey, pull over." He just, I didn't even get to second gear. Pull over. And so he asked me, "Can I see your driver's license and registration?" Number one, I don't know what the registration even looks like or nothing. Number two, I do not have a license or permit or nothing. And number three, he should have arrested me and thrown me in jail, because it could have been I stole that car. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, knowing my parents, that guy, I should say, knowing my parents, the store owner said, "Hey, that's the Reverend's kid. He's a good kid. He doesn't..." The cop said, "Well, I already pulled him over. I got to give him a ticket. Plus, I had a light out on top of that. There was no headlight in one of the things. It was just gone." So even though it was daylight, no light, no drive, ticket. So he wrote me a ticket. Of course, I turned the car around and parked it. And then I walked to get the pizza. I never told my mother. My brother got out the car and left me hanging. As soon as the cop said... cop said to pull over, he just left me hanging there. So long story short is I go back and the ticket comes to the house where I'm supposed to go to court, and I take it and throw it away. And then they send another ticket. This time it's a warrant or something. It's more serious. You got to appear in court on this day, blah, 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 blah. But my father got that one. And this was June of 1970, and we were fixing to move from New York to Seattle. Biggest change of our life. So we go to court. The judge is throwing everybody under the jail. Book them, you know, whatever. And he gets to me, and the judge is like way back there, and we're in the back of the court. I'm standing next to my father, and they call our name. They call my name. And my father stops the judge in the middle and says, "Hey, I'm Reverend Greenidge. This is my son, and he's coming with me, and he's not going to be on probation, and you're going to throw this out to court." And the judge said, "Who are you?" "I'm his father." And my father just spoke like the OG that he was. He just said, "Hey, he's not going to have probation. He's not going to have none of that stuff, and he's coming with me." So the judge said, "Okay, Reverend, whatever you say." Click, case dismissed. I mean, he just threw it out completely. I looked up at my father and I was like, wow. I thought my father was a nice guy, and he was. But he stood up for me when I didn't deserve being stood up for. That's one of the many reasons why I love him. What has God done for you that you should love him? Oh, how I love Jesus, because he loved me first. That's why we have to come and worship him. That's why, because of what he did for us. Amen? So I'm not beating you up. I'm just encouraging you. This is the reason why we have a love relationship. I believe that if anybody did something for you, you would want to go back and spend time with that person. Right? The Apostle Paul said it great when he said in Philippians 3:10, "I want to know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection."
I want to know, you know why? Because he did something for me that nobody else could do. He washed my sins away. He forgave me. He healed me. He gave me a purpose in life. And I know I'm speaking for somebody today. He washed your sins away. He healed you from your mess. He delivered you from the pit. He raised you up when you didn't deserve to be raised up. He healed you. He delivered you. He saved you. That's what we read in that psalm earlier. When I was in trouble. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. Oh, Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You've kept me alive. And that's why it says, his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We're going to get to that joy here in just a minute. God is able to save us. That's what the three Hebrew boys said. That's why we love them. And I lost my place, so forgive me. Here it goes. The ability to move through your difficult circumstances with faith and confidence that God is leading your life and is very important. How do you do it? This is how you do it. Would you put Psalm 100 up for me, Lexi? It says, make a joyful shout or a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. All ye lands. Everyone can do it. Every one of us can make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen. Some of us think, well, I can't sing like, you know, Pastor Richard. I can't play like Pastor Paul. I can't do. You don't have to. The Bible gave you a break. It said, make a joyful noise. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Anybody have, can make noise without opening your mouth and letting something come out? Can you do that? Who did that? Who did that? James, okay, back there. You had to open your mouth to put your fingers in, see? You had to purse your lips. The point is, you can't make a joyful noise quietly. You just can't. Hallelujah. That word by itself makes means you got to say something. It means it's the highest praise. Hallelujah. To who? To God, the one who saved us and delivered us and sanctified us and blessed us and healed us and leads us. Amen? Amen. So you got to make a joyful noise. Everyone can do it. Then it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Some of us have difficulty serving the Lord. It says, I'm saying to you, get out of yourself. Get involved with what God is doing in our church. Serve them. Find some place to get involved and serve them. If you want change in your life, find some place to get involved. God has given you a gift. Use it. Serve him. It takes you out of the navel-gazing category. A lot of people that have depression and suffer from immobility, I don't know what to do. It's because they're making their neck do something that God didn't design it to do. Looking at that belly button. And while they're doing it, they're going, it's all about me. I know I'm making fun of some of you. It's okay. It's just a joke. But it brings out the point that when we spend our time looking at ourselves, the answer is not inside of you. The world says, look deep in yourself. What you gonna find? Sin, brokenness, confusion, doubt, fear, unbelief. I've never known, the only way you can look inside and find something good is when the Spirit of God lives in you and he's bringing you back to Jesus. He's bringing you back to Jesus. It's not about you. So serve the Lord with gladness. Then it says, come before his presence with singing. He's repeating it. Make a joyful noise. Shout to the Lord. Come before his presence with singing. However you sing, sing. Good, bad, and different, sing. Open your mouth. Praise him. I'm not trying to tell you to do something that I don't do. You know what? 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, what happens in here? What time?
10.
Okay, not 10:30, 10 o'clock. Is that what I heard y'all say? Okay. Come before his presence with singing. And then it says in verse 3, know that the Lord is God. He is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What's great about that scripture is that we are God's people. He has a provision for us. He has a pasture that he puts us in. Another scripture says that we go in and out of his pasture. He blesses us. He takes us to good places. He does. You know what? The Bible says that the goodness of God brings us to repentance. But it's his goodness. He has blessed us in immense ways. Amen? And because we long for that thing that he's done for us, it says Jesus died to purchase our eternal life, and we belong to him, and he takes care of us. Number 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Don't come to church with your burdens on your heart. You might have them, but this is how you get out of them. You don't rehearse your burdens. When you come to church, man, I can't believe I had a worse week. How you doing? Oh, man. And then you start rehearsing everything that wasn't good for you. It says to enter his gates with thanksgiving. So what you should do is start thanking God for the fact that you can walk, or that you're here, or that you woke up this morning. There's something you could thank him for. Anybody? Is there anybody feeling that? So when you come to the back door and you come through the doors there, thank the Lord. God, I thank you this morning. Years ago, I used to see it and I never understood it until I got older and more understanding of what God's doing in my life. But they used to come to church. I can't do it now. But they would kneel down on both knees in front of the bench and pray. Then they would get up and enter into the service. What they were doing is taking their mind and focusing it back from whatever they came from, whatever happened, the fight they had with their husband or their wife, whatever their boss did to them at work, whatever, whatever. And they're just saying, Lord, I thank you for this day and this opportunity to be in your presence, to honor you. I give you praise for who you are. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for blessing me. On and on. They come, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And then when they actually get into his courts, it's with praise. I like the scripture. It says, be thankful for what God has done. What you have and where you are right now. Do it where you are right now. Because some of you are in the middle of the fire, but you won't even take time to thank God for the fact that you're alive. Because God could have let the fire burn you up. Amen? But he doesn't. He's protecting you. It says in the next verse, be thankful to him and bless his name. Be thankful to him. It's repeating that from the first 2 or 3 verses. You enter his courts with praise. Thanksgiving. It says, be thankful to him and then bless his name. Do it again. Why? Why should you do it again? Verse 5, because the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. Say it with me. And his truth endures to all generations. That's us. Amen. That's one of the ways you praise God. That's how you bless him. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Can you praise God when you're going through it?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Can you praise God when you're going through it?
Yes.
It sounds like that little commercial for kids or something. Yes, I can. I need y'all to say it. Can you praise God when you're going through it?
Yes, I can.
There we go. Tell yourself you can. Psalm 30 says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. We went through all this a minute ago. At the end of it, it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, lest you think that I'm making this up, I'm going to give you one other example. I got a few more minutes. Paul and Silas are in jail at midnight. In Acts 16, 25, it says, but at midnight. Now, they got thrown in jail for no reason other than doing God's will. When they got put in jail, they got put in the worst jail. They got put in the lower jail where it's really bad. It's cold and dank. And, you know, it's like Paul and Silas, they were in there, and the Bible says they were praying and singing hymns to God. At midnight, you should be asleep. Right? I mean, theoretically, unless you're a night owl like me and my wife, sometime we are up past midnight. But generally speaking, especially in those days, at midnight, everybody was asleep. But Paul and Silas are in there thanking God. They're thanking, they're praying and thanking God, singing hymns to God. That sounds like worship to me, doesn't it? Uh-huh. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them. The doors opened. Everybody's chains were loosed. And the best part about this, one of the best things, is God uses everything for his own ends. He got Paul and Silas to be thankful. The other prisoners heard them giving praise to God. Man, these dudes are in prison, but they're still worshiping God. No matter what they're going through, they must serve a serious God. They're thinking about it, right? The other thing is, the jailer, he was about to lose his life. Because the prison doors opened and everybody could have left, but nobody did. Not even the other prisoners. They all stood. They stayed. So God brings deliverance for those people who are with you when you're going through your storm. And sometimes the people that are around you see your storm and they get blessed because you are blessed. Amen? So your blessing is not just for you. Sometimes when you're worshiping through your trial, someone said, you don't know why that person is jumping around and dancing and screaming and yelling. Leave them alone. Because you don't know what they've been through that God delivered them for. And you might be that person next week if you keep holding on to God. But they're going to get a victory because, amen. For those of you who are looking at this later or whatever, I'm shaking my leg. Hallelujah. That's as small a dance I can do. So I got good news for you. When you're going through the trial, do not rehearse your problem. That's a nice way of saying don't complain. That's a nice way of saying don't repeat all the situation that you're going through. Because what you're doing is you're putting your faith behind everything that's happened that's not what you believe God wants to see happen for you. But we all do it, right? Hey, how you doing? Well, you know, my body's aching. My knee is hurting. And I'm just talking about little stuff. But like, you know, if you're going through a trial at your job or, you know, your husband's not doing the right thing or your wife's not doing the right thing or your kids are acting crazy or just, you know, you fill in the blank. When it's happening, you begin to hold on to what God is saying. Don't rehearse the problem. Just say, I'm doing better. Confess that God is taking care of your problem. Stay in the Word. The Bible says the entrance of His Word brings light, direction, and confirmation. Stay in the fellowship of believers. I'm coming to a close. Psalm 126:5 says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So let me give you a little context here. This is a farmer talking about his farm. And a farm is there to plant stuff in so that it can grow food that you can eat, you can sell it, you can feed your family, you can take care of your stuff. It's provision. But just think of it this way. The picture here is one of a farmer who has a field and he's planting seed. Now, when you plant seed, all of us know, it doesn't grow a harvest 30 seconds after you plant it, right? It doesn't come up as a tree in 5 minutes or even 5 days or 5 months sometimes. It might be a year before you see the results of what you plant. So it says, those who sow in tears, because if you think of, let's say this was your farm right here, and you had to go through row by row planting seeds. By the time you get to the middle row, your back might be hurting. And that's where the tears come in. But you keep going, because you know that there's going to be a harvest of blessing at the end. Jesus took all of our grief and pain and went to the cross because he knew at the end there was going to be some joy. There was going to be some joy. He was going to rise again. So he took the 39 lashes. He hung on the cross. They stuck him in his side. They did all that stuff to him. He took it. He could have delivered himself, but he didn't. He took it. He was planting seed. He was the seed that rose again to bring us eternal life, to bring us freedom and deliverance. Amen?
Amen.
So when you're sowing tears, knowing that one day there's going to be a harvest on these seeds, that harvest is going to come. And that's why it says at the end of the verse, bringing his sheaves with him, he'll doubtless come again with rejoicing. In other words, he does not doubt in one moment that the seed he's planting is going to come up, it's going to be bringing a harvest, and it's so much that he's going to be full of joy. So think of the seed that you're planting right now when you're going through your trouble. The seed could be, God is faithful, he promised me, and I'm holding on to it. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. God promised he would save my children. He promised me he would hold on to those promises, keep repeating them. You're planting seed. You're planting seed. Be an overcomer. This is how you do it. You keep on planting seed. And you water that seed with your worship. With your worship. Let me say it again. You water that seed with your worship. Can somebody worship him right now? Can you just open your mouth? I see you clapping your hands, but can you open your mouth and give God praise for who he is, for what he's done? Can you worship him right now? Some of you need to just practice it because you don't ever lift your hands and give God praise for who he is and what he's done. But if you could just worship him right now, you change the atmosphere. You're putting water on the seed that's going to be the harvest that has for you, that God has for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 6 says, he who continually goes forth weeping. Continually. That's a great thing. It means you don't stop. You don't just plant seed one day. You keep planting on Tuesday, on Wednesday, in January, in February, in 1995, in 2015, in 2020. You keep planting. You keep going continually. You're going to get the harvest. It's going to be good. The scripture says, don't grow weary in doing well, for in due season you will reap a harvest of blessing. There's a condition: if you don't faint. Amen? So that's how you go through. If you would close your eyes and bow your heads for a minute. At the beginning of this message, I asked the question, who has gone through some difficult circumstance? Some of you raised your hands. I want to ask it again as the prayer team comes forward. I want to give you an opportunity for someone to agree with you in prayer today about whatever you are dealing with. There might be someone who feels as if their situation looks like an impossible one. Remember, Paul and Silas were in jail. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were about to lose their lives, but God intervened in miraculous ways. The Bible says nothing is too difficult for God. He made the heavens and the earth. He made you and I so he can handle our situation no matter what it is. If you want to receive prayer today, I'd like for you to raise your hand. You're going through something and you need prayer. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. We got time. Raise your hand if you want prayer for something you're going through. In a moment, we're going to respond to that. There might be someone here today that does not have a relationship with God. The one that we're talking about. You don't know what we're talking about. How you can trust somebody with your life. You don't know about that, but you want to get connected to Jesus. God gave Jesus so you could get connected to him. So you could be forgiven for your sins. So you could have eternal life. So you could live the abundant, the good life here and now. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Amen. Thank you. And then there's also the possibility of somebody who let their fellowship and relationship with God go lacking. You want to renew your acquaintance with God. Would you raise your hand to let me know that you're interested in renewing that relationship? Thank you. Thank you. I see the hand. Anybody else? God sees your hand and your heart. In a moment, we're going to all stand. And if you raise your hand, I want you to just come forward. Prayer team, come stand down here so you can pray with those who are coming forward. Let's all stand. If you raise your hand, just come on down. I know if I was drowning and someone threw me a life raft, I wouldn't say I'm embarrassed to receive it. I'd grab a hold of it. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God wants to help you. Amen. Those of you who know what this particular time is, I want you to pray. Pray for somebody in here right now. Just open up your mouth and begin to pray. Those of you who are thinking about making a decision, I want you to come down. God is looking for you. The Holy Spirit promises that when we speak his word, he responds. And I believe he spoke to people today. And there's someone here today, there's several of you that have come down because you want to hear from God. Alberta, in Jesus' name, come on, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just give you thanksgiving and praise because you are letting us know today that you love us and care about us. I pray for these who've come down now, that you would cement the decisions they're trying to make, to give you lordship of their life, to trust you, to get deliverance while they're going through their trouble. God, help them to know that you love them and you care about them and you want to see them overcome. So, Lord, we speak over them the blessing of the Lord. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. We speak salvation in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, do your work right now. Come on, pray, saints, pray. Pray. Thank you for praying. Intercede on behalf of these that have come forward. It's not too late. If those three categories I mentioned, if one of them suits you, come on down. We have a couple more minutes. Come on down. Let God do something for you today. You came in here. You don't have to go out empty-handed. God wants to meet your need. Thank you, Father, that you do great things. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So, Father, we pray a prayer of faithfulness for each one that's come forward. Pray a prayer of deliverance for them, that you'll deliver them from where they are to where you want them to be. We pray your blessing on them. We pray for salvation and healing. We pray for broken hearts, God, that you'll touch them right where they are. And for the rest of us, Lord, that you'll help us to become worshipers if we're not. That you'll help us to continue to agree and worship with you and bless your name and praise you through the difficulty that we're in. That you'd answer prayers, Lord, that you show yourself strong on our behalf in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we leave and dismiss this service, we ask that you'll bless the rest of our week. Bring us back the appointed time next week, God. I pray that your grace and mercy will fill us. Bless each person, each family, each home in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.